videos. Oh my God, I don't have makeup on. I didn't get to go to sleep. I had to work all night on articles.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible, your life.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Here today is our monthly get-together, and I'm here today at Papillon 25 in East Orange, New Jersey. And today, as you saw on my Facebook, I interviewed some heavy and my first guest here is, and I say with great pleasure, Cynthia Horner, who, as you know, I'm going to date myself, she was the editor of Right on Me, my favorite publication, because it had information about all the hard work in the music business, and you know about those pull-out color posters. They were all over my bedroom, and I'm sure they were all over yours, too. But before I start talking to you, to Cynthia, we get to Cynthia, I want to just tell you what an amazing, amazing woman she is. She's done a lot, you know, and when I was, you know, looking over her credentials, I was like, holy cow. She's a writer, a magazine editor, and an entertainment industry entrepreneur, and as I said, she was the reason for Right On Magazine, the editorial director. And like I said, if you were like me, you had to go and pick up this magazine when it came out, because it was, you know, you wanted to see what was what, who was looking like what, and compare with your girlfriends, and go to their house and see what they had on their walls, and they come to your house. You had on your wall, she attended Pepperdine University, and she became the youngest editor of a national publication, which I think is amazing, right out of college. She went to Right On Magazine, and, you know, it just turned out to be the juggernaut that it was. And she has probably interviewed almost every African entrepreneur, I mean, entertainment person in the business, which is amazing. And I'm sure she has fascinating stories to tell. Some that she won't tell. which is going to be a lot of fun for me, because I want to, you know, I don't want to be too juicy gossip, but I want to say that. She is married to a celebrity photographer.
Yep.
His name is Ken Harris. She's also been working with shows like TV Channel, BET, MTV, so that's really cool. And she has some on her own businesses going. Cynthia Horner Independent Production Services.
Mm-hmm. Chips.
Chips, yeah. And she's cinnamon color, so it's cinnamon chips. And it is a media relations company. She has another business called Switchboard Press.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with Gregory Williams. She has a partner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really because she also gives back to her by going to schools and speaking to young people about writing and tutoring, and, you know, she does a lot to give back, you know, all that she's done in this business. And that's wonderful, you know, that someone of this caliber of the community and inspire young people to write, to learn, to, you know, because, you know, what better entree into writing is like, I have written about every celebrity. You know, kids just automatically tune into that celebrity. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way to get them interested in writing articles and exploring, you know, that field. So I'm here to introduce you all to Cynthia Horner. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I am really good and really happy. I'm really feeling how excited I am.
And it takes me back hearing about people. You talk about the pinups on the wall.
Uh-huh.
I get that anytime someone mentions something about Write On Magazine, that's the first thing they talk about is the pinups and how they used to get in trouble with their parents for having all those different pinups up all the time. But, you know, it's so great to hear those stories because it's rewarding to know that a magazine could make such a difference in a person's life, and that they'll never, ever forget it.
I won't.
And I can look through those old issues and think back about what we had to do to produce them, and there's stories to tell about all those different issues and the celebrities that appeared in them.
Yeah.
And the celebrities, when I see them, they say the same, have all these stories to tell about who are in the magazine. And they miss those days because I always made such a big fuss over them, and we made them such big stars. And one of your guests that hasn't come on yet, Mary Moore, used to be the publicist for Tyrese. And at the time she had Tyrese, Tyrese was really young. He was on RCA Records, and he was putting out his album. He wasn't a big movie star like he is now.
Right.
And I interviewed him again recently, and he said, do you remember the time when you did this big photo session for me with the magazines that Mary Moore brought me, and then we brought you this candy? And he said, it was the start of my career. And he said, and since then, he's been in all these films like Baby Boy and different, you know, and then Transformers and all that. But he said this was at the very beginning of his career, and he literally stopped a press conference to tell the press people all about that whole experience.
Wow. And you know what is so wonderful about hearing that story? It's like when you're at the beginning of your career, everything is new, and and you're just amazed about, you know, your surroundings and what's happening to you. And for you to make such a fuss over this young man who's getting started in the industry must have been like, he's like, I am in heaven right now. Cynthia Horner, Write On Magazine, I have made it. And it is, it's one of those stops in your career when you realize you really made it. You were in Magazine. And I think for us, the readers, it felt the same way. Like, this person has a vibe. This is like a hot ticket, a hot number in the business, and I need to know all about him. So I think that is just amazing how you have been such a stepping stone for entertainers in this business.
Yep, and I'm still a stepping stone because now I do grown-up things at Hip Hop Weekly, and it's sort of, it's similar, it's more of a tabloid entertainment format, but I'm still doing all these interviews, so I still get to talk to all the same people, and the first thing they want to talk about is the Write On Magazine days and everything that I did to help them, and they always want to express their gratitude because they say that if it had not been for the African-American media outlets, none of them would be where they are today because the opportunities just don't exist for the African-American celebrity, exists for the Caucasian counterpart.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, you know, you really have firsthand knowledge about how that all kind of, you know, pans out in the industry and how difficult it is for African-Americans to really get, you know, that, what's the word I'm looking for, to really get noticed, to really get, you know, the media attention.
It's still a problem, believe it or not. You would think in 2012 we have an African-American president and all that. It's still a problem. A majority of the celebrities I interview tell me it is extremely difficult to get work. In fact, most of the celebrities now have had to try to create work for themselves just so that they can keep busy in between, you know, getting scripts from agents, and also so they can have more control over the way they're being portrayed on the screen.
That's interesting. How do you see this? How do you, when you say they are putting together their own project and doing their own thing so they can stay busy, how does that kind of work for them? How does that, you know?
Oh, well, I can give you a good example. I interviewed Boris Kojoli the other day because he's in a film. He's in a Evil Resurrection film. It's like a series. He's been in the life of this franchise. So he does get work, of course, but he and his wife, Nicole Ari Park, now live in Atlanta with their children, and they love Atlanta. They don't really want to go back to Hollywood. So he's working with someone who worked on Brown Sugar and are getting together, and they're going to start shooting this spring. And Nicole Ari Parker is going to be the star of the film, and then he'll be in it too.
Uh-huh.
And he said that way they can work together because it's not, even though individually they are getting projects, they're not always getting projects together, even though people know them from Soul Food.
Right.
And he said he really loves working with his wife because she's a brilliant actress.
Mm-hmm.
They work well together. The chemistry is phenomenal. And it's a way for them to get to spend time with each other. So he figures if he can create work and they can work together,
right,
that's, you know, bringing more money into the household.
Right.
And then they're not going to be lonely because they'll be on the, yeah. So that's an example right there. And then there are plenty of other examples, too. A lot of the actors and actresses that I'm talking to are saying that they are meeting all these different other actors and actresses, and they would love to work with some of these people, but they might not get a script. If they do get a script and they get hired, some of those people may not be offered a job.
Right.
So, therefore, if they can get a script together themselves, have some control over the casting, then they can offer people that they like to work with an opportunity to have work.
I think that's how it works for me. And don't be confused. You know, from my perspective, and this is my perspective, sometimes you see the same actors over and over again. And I said, I know there's more than three black actors.
Yeah, I know. I talked to somebody the other day who was saying that. They said, do they think that there's just like a handful of us or something like that? Because I had spoken to somebody who said, that's why we have to create our own work, because it seems like they don't know that there's more of us out there.
Right, absolutely.
And we know, and they said we as people know who is out there because we're all friends, because the business is so small. We all know who's who and what we can all do, what age group we're in.
Right.
So that's another reason why they think that that's important.
Right.
And also it's a way for you to get other kinds of checks, because in the past, if you were supposed to be an actor, you would get a check because that's what you did.
Right.
But now, if you are a co-writer of a screenplay, you can get a writer's credit, or if you help as a producer, you could get a producer's credit, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a way to kind of be on a multi-level platform, which is what I'm doing with my career right now. Because when I was younger, all I did was to work and edit write on magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Stage two of my career, that's not what I do.
I think that's very true.
I have a deal where I do magazine editing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a PR firm with several clients. And on January 1st, 2013, I'm launching a book company.
Oh, really?
Yes, I am, and I am so excited about it. I can't talk a lot about it, but I do have several authors that are already on board. And the reason why I want to have a book company, I started reading when I was 3 years old, and I got a library card when I was 5.
Oh,
when I was 6, I started writing stories, and I always looked at the name. You know how when people have a record, they'll look on a record to see what record company it is?
Yeah.
Well, I would look at a book and say, okay, this book comes from Doubleday Book Company.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, one day I want to have work through Doubleday,
uh-huh,
or Random House or whatever. You know, I was that. I was that type of person.
That's cool.
You know, so I am going to have my own book publishing company, and through it, I will publish certain types of authors,
mm-hmm,
that have the title I'm interested in,
mm-hmm,
and then there will be a few books of my own. But my books have to come a little bit later because I'm starting with, I'm starting with some people who have work that's already ready to go. And it's going to take me a while for mine because I have hundreds of books inside of me. So we're trying to figure out which books make the most sense of mine to come out first and if they should all come out through my company or if they should come out elsewhere. You see, because I've had certain work published before through other people, but this is going to be a completely different situation.
Wow.
So now everyone will get to know all of my stories.
I think that is exciting. That is really exciting. And you heard it here first, but
Yes, you are. You actually are hearing it here first because the only other people who know anything about this are a few people who look at my first Facebook page and they've seen a couple of little tiny sentences.
Okay.
So yes, you are breaking the story, actually. Yep. And maybe we can give you a couple of more exclusives because it's going to be very different than anything that you've ever seen.
Oh, that's really.
I have so much experience in different areas that it's not going to be. When you think of a book company, you think of certain types of projects that you've already seen at some.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. It's me, and it appears as if we lost our connection. We will be back up momentarily. In the meantime, let's see. I want to play for you one of my. Do I still have it here? Let's see. I have Sunset Drive by Jeff Foss in the pocket. I thought I had something else.
That's our show for today.
Until
next time, keep it real.
We are really having a few technical issues right here. I have an iPad, and I'm just kind of like pressing the wrong buttons. But we're still live, and we're waiting for the guest to call in so that we can get this all straightened out. Okay, in the meantime, I don't want to touch too many things. Not yet. Okay, I'm still working with the Valencia so that she can have her. Okay, yes. And everything is, these happen sometimes. We're still live. I hope you can hear me as well because of the simple fact that I am. You're on.
Great. I am back on. So now that we're back on, I want to pull in a couple of other people just to introduce you. We are here at Happy Home 25 and with our owner, Yannick, who has a beautiful, beautiful restaurant here in Orange, New Jersey, South Orange, New Jersey. And so I'm in this gorgeous room, which reminds me of the Tuscan countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a gorgeous African-American lady, which you'll see some pictures of her as well. And also, I just want her to say a few words about her place. And I want to thank you so much for letting us come here and do this great interview.
Okay. I want to say welcome. And I guess with my accent, I'm originally from Haiti and so forth, and but my place started with like a small. I was around the corner in South Orange. I had a small little cafe, and from there I have moved. About 9 years ago. It's going to be 9 years in November to get this spot.
Well, this was a great choice. This is gorgeous. And people who come here will be so pleasantly surprised. And do you have entertainment here?
We do have entertainment on Wednesday night. We have Valerie Adams and the Dimension Band.
Mm-hmm.
And on Thursday night, we have Jazz, John Lee, mm-hmm. and his friends. And usually he will have all kinds of great artists, really renowned artists. So it is like a surprise every time.
Oh, that's cool.
So people really enjoy that. And on Saturday night, we do have also R&B and blues.
Okay, nice.
From 10 to 1.
Wow, you have a really, great variety of choices for people who want to come and hang out and have a good time and hear some good music. Let me ask you about the cuisine. What is the cuisine here?
I would say it is really a melange of, since I'm from Haiti, Caribbean, and Southern cuisine. Yes, I do have oxtails, and we do have like some French, French and Italian, so it's kind of continental, but with a Southern Caribbean chic.
I love it. So. Listen, folks, you have got to come here and have, and if you know what, there's great artwork on the wall.
Oh, the great artwork on the wall is from, some of it is from Asta Art Gallery. And we have really well-renowned African-American artists.
Wow.
Okay, and it is also, it is, the art is for sale. So anybody else, if you come here, you see an artwork that you like, you can go home with it and have a present for your loved one.
I know. Let me tell you, it's a great date night spot. It's very romantic. This room that I'm in is for a special occasion room.
Yes, it is like a wine cellar, but it's a special room.
Okay,
like a VIP wine cellar room, and people will have, you can have dinner for really any time from 6 to 12 people, your friends, and have quite dinner. You can close the door. You can see the other people.
You're by yourself. That's right. I love it. So, please come by Papillon 25. It's a gorgeous restaurant. I'm in love with it already. I can't wait till, I'm going to come have to stop by and have a little dinner here sometime.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful. And I'm having a great day. Thank you so much, Yannick.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And Yannick, she really does have a flair. She has these gorgeous teeth. This gorgeous tea set here. We're having tea, and I feel special. I feel very special. In a great room, great wines, and beautiful artwork all around. I want to be lighting you like this every time. From now on, I'm spoiled. Thank you for spoiling me.
Oh, you're welcome. Every time you come to Papillon, you will be spoiled.
Oh, great. I know we're getting spoiled right now. Thank you so much. We had, as you heard, we kind of dropped those are the technical things that happen when you're live. Speaking to Cynthia Horner, who is very fun, very fascinating, has great stories to tell, and we got an exclusive from her. She is going to be starting her own publishing company because she's always had a love for writing, as we know, being the editor of Write On Magazine, one of my favorite magazines, in the good old days. And here we are with my other guest who I want to tell you about. And I want to, we're going to catch up with her because she and Cynthia Horner have worked together in the past. They have a special relationship with each other in the business. Her name is Mary L. Moore, and Mary is a veteran publicist, a 20-year vet, as a matter of fact. She did this for a while. She was VIP of Urban Media and A&R at RCA Records, which is a big job. It is a huge job, and you don't get that by walking down the street saying, "Hey, I want to be." You have to work for that sucker. She also publishes with Civil Exposure Media Relations, which is a friend to the show, and has put us in touch with some really great people. And we want to thank you for that, because they have gotten us a lot of listenership. And
put us in touch with some really interesting people, and we are so grateful for that. So thank you and Double Exposure.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you for Ms. Horner, because I love her.
You're very welcome for Ms. Horner. I knew you would love her.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I'm not done with her, you know, hallelujah praises here. She has worked on launch projects for Heather Headley, Glory Gaynor, Vicki Nagy, and other artists, and also seen launches with MTV. She's worked with more TV-related shows.
Yeah. People can say everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody and everything.
Yeah, everybody and everything.
Doing it a long time.
Yeah. So you get your hands on a lot of stuff.
Yes, right.
But you know what? I found interesting. You started in military broadcasting.
Yes, I did.
Martha was in the military. You know, when she's out there working, don't mess with her. She's sure. You know, she ain't playing. Which I think is really great. And you're also a 10-year vet with the U.S. Army Reserve.
Yes, Army Reserve.
Wow. So thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
You are welcome. And she's also, I mean, I might as well put everything and anything. Because the girl sings, you know, and she does voiceover, and she does car moves, and
she changes tires.
And she gets your tire, your oil. What do you mean?
Rocket plane.
You know? She put a man on the moon last year. She's bad.
And I'm married.
And she's married. And her husband, yay! Yay, Bobby!
And he's a photographer, too.
And he's a photographer. Wow.
At
a show? No.
And he's friends with my husband.
Oh, my God. So this is a family deal. Yeah. Oh, my God. This is really cool. He's a chef. He can take you pictures of your food. He can walk in the studio. Everything. And responsible for getting us inside the academy. Is that true?
Yeah.
This is like a really... tight-knit little group here, and I'm really happy to be part of it. So, thank you, hubby. What's hubby's name?
Sincere.
No wonder you married him. No wonder. When he said, my name is Sincere, like, married.
Now. Networking, just like I said, those actors are networking to help each other.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it was just saying, you know, we have to... get in there, and this is a great time to do that these days because the world has gotten bigger and smaller at the same time, you know, with the internet and the web stuff, you know, so there's so much opportunity for us, and it is important, like Cynthia was saying, to put each other in touch with each other because we know who we are, and we know that there's more than three of us out there, you know, like the general public sees three actors working all the time, and you're like, that's all? There's only three black guys in the whole wide world.
And one thing also, a lot of African-American professionals would come here, and they really, it's a good place to gather and network.
Yeah.
Network also.
It's kind of like what's happened here today, Cynthia and Mary are buds, the husbands are buds.
Yeah.
He's friends with you, and this just all worked out to be a really great day.
A great day.
Yeah, a great opportunity for all of us. So, Mary, I'm going to get so confused. Mary was telling me that she, a story about she bought Tyrese, and she was telling him you should get paid.
Help launch him, help him get signed to RCA Records when he was just the little Coca-Cola boy singing in the back of the bus.
I remember that.
Came to RCA and we treated him like he was our kid. You know, he had never seen snow before, because he's from Watts in California. So we, you know, treated him like our own kid, let him skateboard up and down the hall, you know, bought him a coat because he didn't have one. You know, and just stuck with him from day one until he got signed. I was with him when he won his American Music Award in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there with him, and I feel proud of him for all of his accomplishments. I was there through Baby Boy, his first movie. It was a quite an experience.
Wow.
He blossomed. Coverage.
She told me, and he's like, you know, he is still grateful for that.
Bunch of covers. He was on the cover of Right On almost every night.
listeners really understand what it takes to, like you said, launch a career, check career through, because so many young people don't realize how hard you work when you get to that place where not just, you know, doing this for fun, have, you know, bills to pay and, you know, artists, you know, if you're a recording artist, studio time, don't take that for granted because that's not really your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's play money now, but you have to pay that back. And you have to work really hard to pay back those expenses mm-hmm. that people put out on your behalf. So can you ladies, you know, kind of tell me what it is like for people to have the career that they see on TV and really get there?
You want to start first since you've been in
okay.
with A&R as well as publicity, and then I could tag on.
Well, it is a lot of work. All they see is a person up on the stage and think, oh, that's fun, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is more work behind the scenes. As I was saying to you on the phone,
mm-hmm.
I'm used to being behind the scenes, and it's actually a lot more work
mm-hmm.
than being up on stage, and I've been on stage too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really know what's going on. You have to keep track of every aspect, because if something falls through, it's still on you. For instance, we've seen a lot of artists now getting in trouble with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, you know, they aren't doing their own finances, but you need to keep track of your finances. You need to keep track of everything having to do with your own career. You have to stay on point about everything, because then ultimately it's going to come back to you, and it's a lot of hard work. When I first started working with rappers at the label, rappers always only wanted to go up and rap. They didn't want, they had to do other things like promotion and publicity
mm-hmm.
and things at the record store. They were like, why do I have to do all this? I'm like, because people want to see you. You have a record in the market. People want to see you. People want to hear you. They want to touch you. You have to get out there. You have to do these things. Well, I'll do it for you. I'm like, yo, homie, don't do it for me, yo.
It's for you.
Your face is on the CD cover.
Right.
Mine or yours?
Right.
Mine, mom. I'm like, well, then you're the one.
Right.
You're the one who has to go out there and grind
mm-hmm.
to keep your thing up there. And it doesn't stop once they're famous. If you notice, some entertainers never go away.
Right.
And there's a reason why they never go away. You always see Beyonce. You always see Lady Gaga. You always see Nicki Minaj, Mariah Carey. You always see some of these people.
Right.
Because you can't rest on your laurels.
Right.
You have to keep it grinding, because the public's quick to forget. They have the attention span of a fruit fly. If you don't have a hit today,
uh-huh.
they forget about you, and they're on to the next person. Like,
right.
oh, yo, this is the hottest new thing. And they forgot about you. Oh, whatever happened to so-and-so?
Right.
They can tell you all the stories that you're listening. Whatever happened to you?
Yeah, I see that.
Blah, blah, blah. Or, like, on TV, you want, like, life after.
Right.
You know?
Like,
whatever happened to the so-and-so,
right.
you better stay on your grind. That's the same with, like, rich people outside the industry. Oh, they just rich. You don't have to do nothing. Yo, he has to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He has a staff
to
pay. He has homes to keep up, cars to keep up. And money doesn't last forever. You may have a lot right now, but if you go out and spend a lot, you're not going anymore.
Right.
You have regenerating.
Yeah.
And that's why sick people like Trump, Diddy, Jay-Z, they stay out there with different endeavors, because you have to keep your multiple streams of income. And that's what my mantra now,
multiple.
Completely. I want to tattoo it on my arm. Multiple streams of income flowing in. Because if something falls through, say, for instance, people that have great jobs think, oh, I got it made. I got a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing.
And we learned that
your job.
This time,
hello.
In the economic sphere.
Unemployment is rampant.
Yeah.
You know, we read it every day in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just rely on one stream of income. You have to diversify. And that's where networking comes in, as Cynthia was saying. Networking. You have to meet people, talk to people, see, get in where you fit in, as they would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because truly, I'm doing more than one thing these days.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep when I can,
mm-hmm.
and my husband could attest to that. I sleep when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia as well. We kind of converse on the computer at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in the morning,
right.
Because both of us kind of sleep when we can,
mm-hmm.
and just keep it moving,
mm-hmm.
because you never know where the next opportunity is. The next project, you know, we do what we can do, but
right.
we know that we have to stay on our grind.
Right.
Both of us.
Yeah. So, Cynthia, I want you to piggyback on that.
Okay.
As well.
All right. Well, first of all, I deal with many young celebrities,
mm-hmm.
because even though we talked to the Right On Man and those publications were around back in the day, they actually came back. They are not back on a monthly basis, but they are back here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I work on those magazines when they are published. And the young celebrities that we use in the magazines have to work harder than the original celebrities that I dealt with,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot more to do. For instance, there's a group called Mindless Behavior.
Yeah.
Probably heard
yeah.
of that. Okay, well, I'm the one that made them famous through Word Up, publication.
Yeah.
Okay, Mindless Behavior, they barely ever get a day off because, first of all, in between whatever the record company has for them to do,
mm-hmm.
they also have to keep doing promotions, whatever promotions their management team finds for them, because those are now generating, income-generating opportunities. A long time ago, if somebody wanted a group to show up somewhere, people would just go on and go. Now you can get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
That is a way to keep money flowing in.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do a lot of in stores now because a lot of stores do not see. There's hardly any record stores anymore.
That's
so
right.
if there's
That's
someplace
right.
like maybe Walmart or
mm-hmm.
or Best Buy that says, look, we can let you come 2 or 3 hours and do some signings. They've got to be and sign maybe 2,000 CDs because there aren't a lot of places where you can even stock 2,000 CDs in a year. So they've got to do things like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Also, videos. Videos are very, very expensive. The cost for videos have gotten to the point where they're not even affordable anymore. So
wow.
what's happening now is back in the day, you might do a video every 3 to 6 months, depending on the project.
Mm-hmm.
They're making these artists now, in some cases, do 3 or 4 videos in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, while they have the budget to get them done.
Mm-hmm.
So if artists these days don't want to do any work, some of these record companies will drop you like a hot potato now. And some of them won't even sign you these days unless you already have a buzz going.
Right.
You've got to prove to these record labels that you have something happening for yourself. They
okay.
want to know how many Twitter fan followers you have,
mm-hmm.
how many Facebook fans you have, and if you say, well, I don't really have any, they say, well, come back to us when you
get some.
Go get some and then come back to us. So that is how the business has changed. Before, you could say, oh, I've got a fan club in Denver. I've got a fan club in California. And they say, oh, that's great. Now they want how many people, you know, are these people going to buy product? Are these people going to do this? Are they going to do that? So these artists have to work.
Right.
These artists don't want because they assume that because they could see somebody on YouTube, all you're doing is YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work to even get on YouTube.
Thank
now,
you. Thank you.
It's not easy to get on YouTube.
No.
When YouTube first got started, they needed content.
Yeah.
Now they're turning away content.
Sorry, we got like just like you.
So if people do not want to do any work, this is not business to go in.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. And a lot of parents write to me saying, oh, I've got this gorgeous child. I've got a child that looks like somebody from Mindless Behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child doesn't have the talent, if the child does not have the work ethic, if the child is not doing well in school, forget about it.
Right.
Because you have to do well in school, too, because
mm-hmm.
you need knowledge.
Absolutely.
You know, because that seems to be the problem that we have with these artists now. You read in the paper about people getting cheated, the IRS
mm-hmm.
problems, all of that. Most of it boils down to the fact that they didn't have knowledge.
Right.
They have a case now where Rihanna's suing her accountants because she's been allegedly cheated out of millions of dollars off of tours. Well, you know what? Now her accountants are counter-suing, saying she signed these contracts. She was fully aware of
mm-hmm.
what we were doing. She knew that we were going to take this certain percentage. She agreed to this. She knew that these were the conditions. So people are fighting back now.
Right.
So their ignorance is no longer any type of excuse.
No.
So that's why people have to have their game face on. They have to be willing to get out there and learn. Because I talked to someone the other day who was in the business. He said, the film business, there's no excuse for saying that you don't have a way to learn. He said, there's so much stuff about the film business in particular You can even go to the films. You can even go to YouTube, he said, and learn anything you want to know about doing films, how to shoot a film, anything you want to know. Just go to YouTube or any internet website, and you will find out what the basics of what you want to know about some of these careers. So you can't say that you didn't know,
right?
Because there's a way that you can find out.
That is so true. And if you're listening out there, you are getting gold right now. You are getting gold information because ain't nobody in the business going to hold your hand through the process, as we're hearing.
Yeah, and the thing about it is you're hearing stories about different record company executives that have had some personal problems, and they feel that, you know, that they've been cheated to or whatever. The thing about it is, people are going to have to network. They're going to have to read. And don't just take one person's opinion. Go to seminars where you can learn from a myriad of different individuals. Just don't just go to the same well to get information. Go to places in California to get information. Go out of your own lane to try to get some information, because everyone's not from the same area, and they don't have access to the same knowledge. So you've got to kind of move around to try to find out what it is that you want to know if you're really serious about what you're doing.
Right. To add to that, a friend of mine who is a talent agent said he went to the West Coast and went to a seminar, and he was shocked about, and he's been in the business for about what he didn't know. And if he is like a vet in the business, shocked about what he didn't know. Think about the rest of us out here who are, you know, more don't have to be clueless. And that's this whole new world on your web, like you said, on the internet. You can find out how to build a BOMB if you want. And I hope you don't want.
No, you're right.
You definitely can.
And I was finding out a long time ago in the music business, there were only certain seminars that you could really go to. Like Billboard would have something, Black Radio Exclusive. There were certain record company conventions that you could always count on. A lot of those companies don't really have those conventions anymore. But other people have stepped up to the plate, and they have different conferences too now. And I know that, for instance, if you want to get in the film business, there are different conferences. They just had Urban World Film Festival here in New York, and that was sponsored by BET. And there were all kinds of people there. If you wanted to meet somebody, I mean, it may not have been totally easy to meet the people, but they were there on the premises, so maybe you could have slipped them a business card or whatever. But I'm just saying that some of these people are there, and sometimes you can get to them and introduce yourself.
Right.
If you do it properly and don't make a nuisance of yourself,
right,
you might be able to get an appointment or find out what you need to do to get an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned that there's going to be an event down in Atlanta in November. It's the first week of November. I don't remember the name of it, but it can be looked up on the internet. But they're going to have their own conference down in Atlanta for the film industry, and they're going to have people like Roger Bob, who was Tyler Perry's number two man over at his company, and now he has Bobcat Films, and Ruben Cannon, who is casting director extraordinaire. All these people are going to be leading seminars, and those are the people, the movers and shakers now. So even if you're not really going into film and television, even if you're going into the record business, these, you still need to hear from these people, because these are the people with the knowledge, and all of these people's industries are so connected that it's important to any instances that you can afford to go to where you would meet some professionals in some of these fields. So I encourage young people, college students, and working professionals that might be looking for a new career to try to get to some of these different seminars, because they all don't cost a lot of money.
Right.
You know?
And it's an investment that's going to pay you back.
Right. Right. It's almost like taking a college course or something. You've got to invest in yourself if you're really serious about transitioning into a new career or getting started in your first career,
mm-hmm.
because no one's going to hand you anything.
Not these days.
No, they're not. I mean, I'm not expecting anybody to hand me anything. I know that I want to do book publishing. I'm not just asking my friends for help. I know that I have to put in most of the work myself, and then maybe, you know, some of these people are going to come through and do something for me toward the end, but I've got to get most of this myself, and I know this,
yeah.
And I'm not looking for a handout, and I don't mind doing the work, because if something is worth having, you need to do the work. You shouldn't just be around to reap, but you need to be in on the ground floor of everything you do.
I have a question for this baby lady. Passion for what you do and what you love.
I would say that you have to really love what you do in mm-hmm. order to make it, because sometimes you have to work 14 hours, 15 hours,
mm-hmm.
18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
In order to make it, you have to love it. If you don't love it, you cannot make it. You don't make something just to make money.
Yeah.
You really have to love it, especially
yeah.
in the industry I am in. I got home at 3 o'clock this morning,
uh-huh.
3 o'clock in the morning, and you have to get up, you have to do, you know, and if something goes wrong, it is your fault.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you cannot say, okay, somebody screwed up. No. You're the head honcho,
mm-hmm.
everything comes back to you. So
yeah.
you have to work for what you want. Nothing comes easy.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make it in this world, you have to work, and you have to love what you do.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Who wants to grab that?
I'll go into passion. I am passionate about what I do. I love music, obviously. I started a million years ago in a girl group singing, so
mm-hmm.
I love entertainment. I also play the guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, not well anymore, but I do have a passion for what I do, which is why I can never go to bed. Right? Yeah, I can never go to bed.
She doesn't go to bed. I have emails of who she doesn't go to bed. But then I guess I'm going to go to bed.
You're up. So, I mean, I'm always home office because I own my own company as well as Disclosure,
mm-hmm.
Because multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have an office at home, and my husband can never pull me out of the office to go into another room because I'm always on the computer. The computer is like the world
lifeline,
the lifeline. When my computer breaks, I'm the only crazy person. I go nuts if my computer has a problem, like, oh no, something's wrong. But passion drives me every day of like, what am I going to do today? Oh, yeah, I got to do this, I got to do that. I just got into film marketing recently, which
mm-hmm.
is, I love movies,
mm-hmm.
and it's a heck of a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
but I love it. I
right.
mean, I was marketing a film that came out yesterday, and it's going to be number one this weekend.
Wow.
Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah,
yay.
Yeah,
yay.
And then.
Oh, Aurelia had
Lumel, that's right. Lumel,
where are you?
Coco Express.
Yeah,
is a funny lady.
Oh yeah,
funny lady. And the next one I'm working on is Here Comes the Boom, starring Kevin James, the King of Queens.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's exciting too. For that, I'm not marketing. I'm gathering audiences up. But I love to do that because
yeah.
it gets me everybody's best friend.
Right.
Everybody wants to go see a free movie, right? Hello. There we go. And there are going to be many more movies coming out. And I'm loving my reinvention. And I got into this opportunity by networking again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, I know somebody you're going to love to work with, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I said, well, I'm really busy. But she called me. We hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
California, the company that I'm out here. But it works.
Yeah.
And I love doing the movies. But you got to keep the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I love what I'm doing,
okay.
and my mind never stops racing. I have a pen and a pad by the bedside,
always,
and there are all these little notes when I wake up, you know,
right.
or I'm watching TV and I see something that reminds me of something I need to do,
right.
and I make more notes. I have notes all over the place. I'm a note maker. Yes, we're note makers. We have to be.
Yeah.
We don't want to forget anything.
Mm-hmm.
There might be an idea that might slip, but that's the passion. It's always with you. It never really leaves you. Even
right.
when we're in downtime, like we were in Atlantic City last weekend.
Yeah.
That's kind of downtime.
It was not really downtime. I drove back up that highway, and I immediately wrote an article as soon as I got home.
Oh, my
God. Wow.
So passion is
passion.
It's the thing that drives
passion.
You even when you're dead tired, dog tired.
We don't give up.
No,
we don't give up.
No. And I think that's wonderful. And I think that's great for people to hear about whatever it is they want to do. You know, and it might not
be
entertainment. It might be making socks.
You
know,
whatever you
love making socks is what makes us happy every day. I'm in the sock game.
Passion is the key.
Yeah, passion is the key.
When the chef over there, passion is about food.
Yeah.
Well, it's a taco, but I met him, it was food.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have, you know, multiple passions and things that
We all multitask, I think, to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
We don't make every interest a career, but those are the lucky ones when you can make one of your interests a career.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I think is wonderful to acknowledge, too, is like every passion is not a career. But it's something that makes you feel great about something and excites you about, you know, your hobby. You know, and you have something that you get jazzed up about in life.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
I think that's really
important
to have something that makes you say, oh, my God. Like, you know, I love a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love art. I love dance. I love music. Mm-hmm. But not all those elements are things that I could not be a dancer. I would be a dancer for like 30 seconds. And I'd go, okay, that's good.
That's it.
Yeah, that was nice. I felt it. I like to see you do it more than I like, you know, seeing me do it. But I think passion is such a wonderful thing to have in your life for something.
It's like I really have two passions,
mm-hmm.
cooking and teaching.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, I taught for 31 years in New York.
You did?
I was doing teaching. And in New York, I was at Velsburg.
Mm-hmm.
I was Wycliffe. Teacher.
Really?
Oh, I know his sister, Melky Jones.
Yeah, Melky. Yeah. Every time she comes from Miami, she comes here.
That's great.
And also, I was at Westside High School and Arts High School for 14 years.
Wow.
Yes.
So passion for teaching is an amazing passion.
I love it.
Wow, to really like get to a kid and really inspire them and teach them and it's such an underrated, you know, profession and job that we, because you have kids, you know, you've had kids more than parents have had kids
in a day,
most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And really the pleasure is to see them coming through and saying, okay, they have to call me Madame, you know, Madame
Mary.
And they have to speak to me in French. And it is so great to see them, and they come with their family and their doctors, lawyers, and it's such joy.
Mm-hmm.
Such joy. They come with their friends and so forth. It is so, you know, I think. Teaching for me is one of the best careers because when you get to someone, it's my passion. Also.
Yeah.
So I'm always teaching and cooking, teaching, and when I have the interns coming and they, for me is, and even in the restaurant business, you are always teaching someone how to dine, how to. When I would tell the gentleman, okay, gentlemen, do not wear hats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
gentlemen.
Yeah, and so you have to teach everything.
Yeah, that's amazing. So wow,
one of my passions.
Yeah, and other, you know, Cynthia, you've done some teaching in your you know experience.
Yes, but I like I don't like teaching in a school setting.
Yeah.
That's not really for me. I do better when I'm in more of an auditorium setting.
Like lecture.
I tried the classroom setting. It wasn't really good for me unless I worked with the more gifted it had to be the more gifted students.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like kids that want to just sit at a computer and play video games. That really bugs me because I'm a reader,
mm-hmm.
so I want people that want to do some work and all that. So when I see kids that are just trying to play around with a computer,
mm-hmm.
and I know how valuable learning is and about how we used to not even have computers or anything like that, it just means that kids misuse time that way.
Right.
But it's because their parents are not giving them any foundation and letting them know that you shouldn't be using your computers like that. You need to use it for resources.
Yeah.
That's why I really respect our president, because he and his wife make sure that their children do their schoolwork, and they always talk about education.
Right.
And I think that's so important, because I think that we've gotten away from that too much, because children are put in front of a television set, and it's a way to just entertain them and keep them quiet.
And I think we've entertained our kids. When we were growing up, it wasn't about being entertained. You have your parents like, you got to do something before I put two hands together and knock you out.
When I was little, I grew up during a time where we didn't have anything like BET.
Yeah.
And when I was watching TV, now, of course, my situation is very extreme because I was a very precocious child, but I was watching news shows when I was like 3 and 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I would go back in the other room. My parents might be in another room. I'd go in the room, and I would tell them what was on TV. I'd tell them about what newscaster was on and what was going on the news. I would tell them about the presidential debates and everything.
Oh, yeah,
and who was winning. And also,
sorry, because you'd be in media.
I'm a reporter in different seasons. And Walter Cronkite was my hero. And Alex Haley was my hero. And all these different people in media, they were all my heroes.
Oh, my God.
And I got to meet all of them. And Bradley, all of them.
Really?
Yeah, so I got to meet each one.
You had no chance. And you were born in media.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, most kids, they want to watch cartoons and play games and all that. And I just think that there's so much, especially with all the different cable shows that there are nowadays, there's so much that kids really could learn if somebody would just point them in the right direction. But an adult has to do that. You cannot just expect all kids to just on their own start flipping through the channels and say, oh, this is a great show. A Cynthia Horner, other kids, that wouldn't happen a million years.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying that it's a shame that things can't be any different. But going back to passion for a second, I think that your listeners for your show need to realize everybody can't go in the entertainment business. That's not feasible.
Yeah.
I know that some of them probably won't even want to.
Right.
But if there's something out there that they like to do, they should just go on and do it.
Absolutely.
Even if it's something that's a hobby. I know people that know how to crochet,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're good at Zumba classes or whatever. If you find that you're above average at something you do, you could actually make a living at whatever that is these days as a second career. Maybe you could do something, pay the bills that you went to school for, whatever, and then at night do something that you really love, and then maybe at some point you could flip it, and what you really love could become the income-generating career.
And I think that's amazing. That's a great thing to tell people,
mm-hmm.
because, we have this do-or-die mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Either I'm, doing it at 1,000 or I'm not doing it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And just for someone to have, like you said, be good at crocheting, Zumba classes, there's someone else out there who's looking for what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been, if somebody's never been a big exercise, fanatic, and you check out this teacher, she's like, she is so fun, I don't even know I'm exercising. I don't even know I'm doing Zumba. And listen, like you said, and everybody cannot be in the music industry or the entertainment industry. And once they get there, may not like it. Because like we've been saying, it's a lot of work to make these things look effortless and flawless and really, attract the attention of the audiences you're putting it out there for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, something else I'll say, having an internet radio show like yours is a good idea because it gives women a chance to learn more about what women are doing. Because a lot of times people always complain that women are not supportive of other women.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they are if they're in an organization. Like I'm in a sorority, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority, Incorporated. And, of course, the goals and missions of sororities are to embrace the sisterhood. But if you're not in a sorority or if you're not in an organization or if you don't come from a big family of sisters and siblings, then what do you have?
Right.
You know, but if you have something like maybe an internet radio show that you can tune into and you can hear viewpoints and get information, I think that that's very important because it's a way to connect with other people, you know, like mine, and also to get some inspiration because everyone doesn't have a mother figure that may be able to give them the kind of encouragement and incentive that they need. I do. My mother is still living, and I'm fortunate for that. I can talk to her anytime I want. But many people are not in that situation for various reasons.
Right.
Some people never had a mother. Some people did have one, but then over the years, before they may have passed on, like Mary has been in that situation. But having these shows does help, and I'm seeing more and more of them spring up, and I think that everyone should try to show so to survive and that we can all learn from them, and I'll certainly give this show some exposure in Cynthia's column in Hip Hop Weekly.
Thank you so much.
About what we discussed today.
Oh, thank you so much, Cynthia. That means a lot to me, and when we started doing this show, I mean, Aurelia has always been someone who thinks up forward, thinks ahead, thinks, you know. And when she asked me to do this, I kept saying no. No, because I was working behind the scenes. And I was like, no, this is you. And so she kept asking, and she tricked me one day. Because I kept saying, if I find something that really speaks to me, I would do it. But I never really found, you know, an avenue that spoke to me. So she tricked me one day. She goes, oh, my God, I need you to come on, and I need you to do this interview with me. And you know, it's about reinventing yourself and your career, and you know how to do that. And I was like, okay, I did the show hooked like that, hooked, line, and sung. And I was like, oh, my God, I love this. And so I really said, what is it that I want to kind of put out there to people? And my best, we are all great inventions as human beings. Human beings are great inventions. We can rebuild ourselves. We can break down. We can fix ourselves. You know, we can reach out and touch someone else and make them feel good. We are such great things that inspire us, that, you know, and the things that we do. And this show has been so fun for me because I've gotten to meet great people like you, Mary, you, Cynthia, who I've, like, always admired, you know. You, Yannick, this beautiful place. I've, and even some of my other guests, I've really gotten to see, like, passion. You know, I have a friend, and she has a company out in Chicago. And we were college friends, and we reconnected. And we were talking, and she was like, when she was telling me when she interviews people for a job, she says, what's your passion? And I never heard that in an interview before. You know, somebody saying, what is your passion? And to find out what somebody's passion is and try and match them in their passion and their abilities and job requirements was a whole new, I was like, what? You know, I know when people get a job, it's like, this is a job, do it. But that being said, that's become a question that I love to hear the answers, you know, people's attitudes, you know, passions. What does that say to you? What does that mean to you? And I'm so happy that, you know, you are seeing more shows like this, speaking to women and being to them and inspiring people to be passionate about anything, something. To be passionate about you know, life. And I think that's important. Being passionate about life and getting up in the morning and saying, woo, and not like, woo.
And never say never, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Never say never, never give up. Because I think I was telling you when they downsized at RCA right after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and I was vice president there, and that went out the window.
Oh, God.
I reinvented myself into my own company, so
mm-hmm.
much more communication,
yeah.
and kept it moving. Just
mm-hmm.
went and found all those people who wanted to work with me, and I couldn't because it would have been a conflict of interest.
Right.
And I called them up and said, nah, there's no more conflict of interest.
Yeah. How about that? A lot of interest right now.
A lot of interest now. And built my company up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. Like when life hands you lemons, as they say, the real old, make lemonade.
Yeah.
Make one, figure out
make
how
lemonade.
Can I make lemonade.
Right.
I see if you like that.
Right. Or
you know,
don't let
adversity get to you. Just
yeah.
jump. How high do I have to jump to get over this hurdle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just hurdles. They can't defeat you. You know, you just look at how good, well you're doing and count the blessings you do have, as opposed to don't look at the glass half empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's half full,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's your job to fill the other half of it. Count your blessings every morning. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, for everything that I do have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not focused on what I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to keep it moving and keep what I got and get a little bit more
mm-hmm.
and keep, you know, keep the flow going. That
yeah.
keeps me motivated.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to say never. And I have thankfully, I have a great partner who motivates me too, pushes my
yeah.
pushes me right up the hill. I know Cynthia does as well.
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm.
they push us from behind. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ambitious.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Some of them are really ambitious
okay.
people too.
That's
yeah.
Nice.
Which helps.
Yeah, it helps. I'm sort of like newlywed. I've only been married.
Congratulations.
Like,
congratulations.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you. I've been married for 3 years.
Oh,
and,
congratulations.
Yeah. And Mary and her husband had a hand in everything. But the thing is, my husband is very supportive. I married very late in life. As you know, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not 20 years old.
But you're a cute chicken.
But the thing about it is, I married late in life, but I married the right person
yeah.
because I could have made quite a few very serious mistakes if I had married young.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't marry the record company. Everybody I've married the present record company
mm-hmm.
or something like that because that's how they saw me. I married a freelance photographer
mm-hmm.
who has a heart of gold.
That's his best.
He, thanks to him, I am now 62 pounds lighter than I was on my wedding day.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations. Yeah.
And that is because usually people gain weight when they get married. In my case,
I won't make you so happy.
Yeah, he was very supportive. He wanted me to lose weight, but he didn't want to just come out and say it. No, what he did was he just started cooking things
yeah.
that he felt that I should be eating,
mm-hmm.
and he would encourage me to do certain exercise that
mm-hmm.
he felt that I would be able to do, and when I didn't want to go out walking, he would get one of my little stuffed animals that he bought me and he'd have them talk to me and say, Mama Horner, you should go out for half an hour and do some walking while the weather is good. And that would get me out there. And after a while, the walking just kind of took over, and now I walk sometimes 2 or 3 hours in a day.
Wow.
Sometimes I have to get up at 6 or 5 in the morning to do it because
mm-hmm.
I'm a really, really busy person.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually like walking now.
That's great.
He had to kick me out of the bed to do it sometimes. But now I'm on my own doing talking on the phone saying, I don't even have to remind her to do it anymore. She goes out there
yeah.
and does it.
That's great.
And so, but somebody in your life that is supportive,
mm-hmm.
that gives you positive reinforcement is very helpful to busy women.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have the wrong partner in their life. They have somebody that is not giving them positive feedback.
Right.
I was at a concert the other day. I didn't even get a chance to tell Mary I was going. I'm sitting there at the concert. In comes this couple, arm in arm, hugged up,
mm-hmm.
sitting right in front of me. It was Mary
and Cynthia.
Yeah. And
that's the way it should be, but that is not the way a lot of relationships are because women have had to take what they felt men would offer them instead of getting what they deserve. And that's something else that these shows need to promote, the fact that we don't have to accept what men want to give us. If we want better, we have to demand better.
Absolutely.
You know? Because I know I myself sometimes got to think, okay, well, I let this person do this because of X, Y, Z. No, I shouldn't have done that. And I would do that again. You know, and when they had that expression that was called, I can do that all by myself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought about that expression. I started really thinking
about heart.
Taking that to heart and saying, I don't have to accept things just because a person might be a celebrity or because they're influential or they're this or they're that. I'm bigger than they are.
I don't have to
accept this. No, but no, seriously, having a good partner in your life really does a lot because people look at me and they say, you look like you got married yesterday.
Yeah.
Because they say that I have this permanent glow about me.
And that's amazing when it just shows on the outside what's happening on the inside.
Yeah.
Which brings me to a point of a project that Cynthia and I have been talking about that we haven't had time to mount yet, and she knows which one I'm talking about. Yeah, you do. It's we want to do singles mixers.
Oh!
We want, because it's a sorely lacking area, I feel, in the African-American community is places to meet. Not everybody goes to church anymore.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of times people are busy, right? Sometimes they're not in the neighborhood that's conducive to that, or their friends and relatives don't know anybody to introduce them to, whereas other people might know somebody who's available or looking. Again, it comes down to the networking thing.
Right.
You don't know everybody. You can't know everybody. So if everybody got together and networked, like I know a lot of single men, she knows a lot of single men, I'm sure we all do, who aren't appropriate for that one but might be appropriate for the other one.
Right.
I have friends, you know, so we both have girlfriends who really keep saying, hey, be married, have a you know, share the wealth.
Yes.
Okay.
Where'd
you find them? I know Cynthia's always getting the question.
Yes.
Where'd you find them?
Right.
Where'd you find them? You know, I met mine at work. He was the chef in the cafeteria.
Wow.
So, and I was at RCA, you know, doing my thing, and he was making that great turkey meatloaf.
See, down
the cafeteria.
That's the man I can really
that was it right there. You know, but we've been talking about it for a while. It's just a germ of an idea, but
perhaps,
you're starting to have an idea.
Yes, we could have it here.
Actually, this
you
is
heard it
first.
That
would be because people would feel comfortable in this kind of setting. Because sometimes people feel nervous.
Yeah, to kind of like you know talk to somebody or reach out to somebody, and you know you got great artwork to talk about, great food, great drinks. There's so much to take the pressure off of meeting somebody here.
And maybe you could have them join wine tasting.
Okay, another big exclusive people I'm getting
them. We can have a wine tasting dinner and so forth, and you can
do your singles mixer here.
Yeah.
I love it.
And that would be great.
And especially in New Jersey, I think.
Yeah.
Because New York has a lot of things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think New Jersey has as much going on, you know, for American singles to get together in a safe, decent environment.
And just,
you know, meet each other, parlay, entertain. Maybe a comedian comes in, tells a few jokes or something. And, you know, maybe you have a little, you know, some other kind of games or something, or raffles or whatever.
We have great music here on the regular
music.
Music.
You know, things to entertain them, but also they get to meet people they wouldn't have met otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, without being, you know, I'm going out hunting, looking.
Yeah,
for
I know.
Person.
You got you thinking.
Yeah, I'm looking
in
that person, got my axe ready to smack them in the head, track them home.
You know, right. I mean, that's been our thought. We really, and I got a girlfriend who calls me once a week and says, "When you gonna do those mixers?"
Okay.
Right. When you gonna do those mixers?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm waiting. I'm like.
I think you guys got something here. We can do wine tasting and get the mixers together. That way, because sometimes when you say mixers, people say, oh, okay, I'm going to mix it.
Wine tasting.
And it's like together without telling them is the
list.
Yeah.
Also, and those single.
Yeah. Also, you some teaching people because you're in the business. I think that we always need to kind of teach people because as you know, other cultures, they do teach people. They need to learn about wines because if you ask someone about wines, if they go to a restaurant, they're like, oh, I don't know. Or they'll always pick the same wine because they don't, because I interview celebrities or I go with them to a restaurant, they'll pick the same thing because they don't know. They don't know.
They don't know.
And, you know, I think that we, you know, they could learn. And a lot of times, people need to be taken out of their comfort zone.
Yeah. Their environment and just
show them etiquette and so forth.
Right.
You have, and there's nothing wrong about learning something new.
No.
And so forth. And also, you know, because I'm in Western, I'm still not single women, they tend to settle. Because they feel like, oh, I don't want to be by myself, but there is no, I'm going to settle.
Yeah.
You, as a woman, you cannot settle. You have to be treated like a queen, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what, and to be nice all the time, it's not going to be nice all the time, but you have to say, can I live with that person the way the person is?
Right.
Because the way that you see that person doesn't want to change.
No.
That girl is not going to change. You have to accept the person the way the person is. You cannot, because you know he's going to do, whatever he's going to do is not going to change.
Right.
And you cannot accept the minimum, okay. He has to pick you up and tell him.
Right.
I don't see why women will come with a man and then say, okay, we're going to have to. It's the same. That's not.
Yeah.
He cannot even buy you dinner, so what? He's not going to be responsible to do anything else for you.
It's like, if he's alive, I'll take him.
Yeah. I've actually heard people say that was the criteria. I'm serious. It's a body.
Okay, I know, and also they have problem with, that person, okay, he's not cheating, so therefore I'm going to accept whatever, all the things that he does.
Right.
So we have to learn to, African women, we have to accept, we cannot accept everything because we want the mediocrity. We have to say, okay, you know, we're beautiful women, we have to accept the best. We cannot lower because we say, okay, there's a shortage of black men, so therefore we have to do that. There's a shortage of men, period. We have to.
Right.
No, you don't have to do that.
Right. Because you're short to change yourself.
You have to be with that person.
Yeah.
And you have to find the medium. You have to. If you have to wait 20 years, that's all right. You have don't get married, like Cynthia didn't until you find your right person.
Yeah, someone lovely, someone, you know, who lives
the right person. Someone that really loves you.
Yeah, and see, you know, the beautiful in you.
The beautiful in you.
You can tell in your heart.
And somebody that can support you in your endeavors.
Right.
Because we're all clean.
And see, self-esteem is lacking in our community.
In general.
Sometimes people do have self-esteem, maybe in the workplace, you know, because black women are able to get a good job. They can get a job and keep a job. But in the personal life, that's where the self-esteem takes a big hit.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got to make sure that we're also teaching our young women to have higher self-esteem. Because I'm working on a project right now that takes place next week with young girls about teaching them self-esteem, self-awareness about teaching them about the inner beauty.
That's
because,
great.
And we're dealing with girls starting age 8,
wow.
8 to 14.
And that's a crucial time.
Yes, it is, because they don't think sometimes they're going through that awkward stage. They don't think that they're pretty, especially if they're looking at some of these celebrities who have the weaves and, and all the makeup and everything, and they don't look like that, and they feel that they should. And we want these girls to understand that they are beautiful. We're actually going to have them do affirmations and have them say out loud, "I am beautiful," in front of the whole crowd.
Oh, my God.
So that they understand that they are beautiful.
Speak it out loud.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful concept. And I think, thank you, Cynthia, for doing something like that for our young women.
Yeah, because I know that when I was little, my parents taught me that I was to always have high self-esteem and never let anyone think that I was nothing. You know, I was always to be known as someone as being special, but other kids are not being taught that by their families.
Yeah.
And I never really realized that until I was an adult and started working and dealing with these celebrities and realized that a lot of these kids were not learning this. And now it's much worse.
Wow.
So that's why we as women need to cultivate that theory and try to help others along the way, especially these college students, because I'm seeing a lot of problems in colleges when I go around speaking. A lot of these kids, these students are getting hit by their friends.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of battery and abuse. And they're accepting it because they're away from home and they don't know what else to do and they want to feel accepted by these guys.
Right. That's their connection to their own self-esteem and their own self-worth. Is this guy, you know, is telling me, in other words, you know, because I'm with you, you are somebody, which is not the case. It's like, you've always been somebody. That's not the story. The story is that you feel bad about you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nobody, like you said, there's nobody there to say, stop that. That's not, you know, that's not acceptable. That's not right. And we just really need these outlets where girls and women and young girls can have that affirmation, that someone confirm.
That's why every year I'm the publicist for the Miss Soul Figure USA Pageant, because especially soul figure girls get a harder time, you know, than skinnier girls, you know, because everybody, skinny is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's part of what they get taught by the dirigents, Rita Randolph, is self-esteem, and I am gorgeous, and I am lovely, and I don't have to weigh 90 pounds to be pretty.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, she gives classes, in addition to classes in walking in heels, and smuts, and the Vaseline on your feet, stuff like that. She teaches self-esteem as well, which I think is very, very important, especially with that sector of being full figured and still knowing that you are worthwhile and you're still gorgeous and the whole nine.
Yeah.
And also with gay kids, too.
Oh,
they
yeah.
need reinforcement, too. So they know I'm still worthwhile. I may be gay, but that doesn't mean you can kick me.
Right. And, you know, what it, I think is important for, you know, that sector, young, gay, and lesbian girls, is to realize it's not all about the label of being gay or lesbian. You are a person, first and foremost. You are a human being with feelings and aspirations, and it's not all about being gay. You know, that doesn't come first all the time.
It doesn't define you.
No,
it's not who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of you, but it's not
are you
the
a loving,
only thing you are.
Yeah, are you a loving human being? Are you an honorable human being?
Are you funny?
Yeah, and who you choose to love is like secondary or tertiary or fifth-ary to the other stuff that you are and that's inside of you. I think as a society, we get that wrong too. It's like, oh, Lord, you're gay. But, you know,
so what?
Yeah. Not, oh, Lord, you're a murderer.
Yeah. And if they want to come to the mixer that we're having, I don't see any problem with that, because I think that basically what we need to open up is interpersonal communication
mm-hmm.
among people in general,
mm-hmm.
regardless whether it leads to marriage or
friendship or
business.
Right.
Because we can't just say that because we have a bunch of people in a room that everybody's going to click and they're going to get married.
Right.
That is not necessarily the goal. But
right.
what we would be doing is putting people together. They can talk, communicate, you know, maybe exchange information,
mm-hmm.
maybe go out to eat, you know, find some common interests,
yeah.
do some things together, maybe work on some projects together.
Right.
I think that it's just important for people to have somebody to communicate with.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to broaden their horizons,
mm-hmm.
whether it leads to anything or not, because everything should not be about sex. Everything should not be about some type of physical attraction.
Right.
We should try as people to just figure out ways that we can better ourselves, you know, through networking
mm-hmm.
and knowing people that are different than who we are.
Right.
You know?
And being inspired by
right.
them to do some things in the world that make sense.
Right.
You know, that really give back to your community and give back to yourself and make you feel good about what you're putting out in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Cynthia? I think I want to wrap up because I want people to know more about what you guys are up to and what you guys are up to and what you're looking forward to doing. So, Yannick?
Okay. I am planning to commercialize my iced tea.
Oh!
I'm drink iced tea, so...
Oh! I'm getting so today.
It is a company's working on it. Hopefully we will be doing that in the next 6 months. We will be getting a deal and so forth, so that's great. And little on my sources, but
mm-hmm.
right now, what we're planning to do for the whole year, we're having events
mm-hmm.
Like wine tasting and so forth. Because we have events throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
So everybody will know what's happening is going.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to reach out to young people
mm-hmm.
and educate them about wine and about etiquette.
And how to be in a lovely restaurant and enjoy
yourself
mm-hmm.
and eat and yeah. be merry.
Cynthia, you've had a lot of great stuff on the table, and I want to, I know we'll be talking about your publishing company and what else is going on, girl.
Well, I do public relations. We have Cinnamon Chips. We have several clients. We have multi-ethnic roster of artists. Have a Mexican-American teen idol named Joshua Flores.
Really?
He speaks Spanish and English. Yep. And last time I was with him, I got knocked over by about 300 girls. And sometimes
you're doing your job.
Yeah. Sometimes I do publicity on authors. I've done publicity on a couple of publicists that had books coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I know.
Hey, I'm back. We dropped the call a little bit, but we're just winding down. So please bear with us while we bring Valencia back on live so that she can be able to continue and finish up her interview with you guys. I hope you enjoyed the wonderful conversation, and I guess you can say the education that they're giving us in regards to what it takes to be a transitioning individual, a transitioning woman or man. The advice and the wealth of information that you're receiving for this particular segment of our show has been invaluable, and I hope you all are taking advantage of it. I'm just sitting back and enjoying the dialogue completely and totally. Oh, hold on, please. Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I do public relations. We'll have the book company, and I don't know. I guess I'll, of course, I'm still with Hip Hop Weekly, so it comes out every other week. So look for all my articles. There are quite a few that have my name on them. The new issue, we have a story about Mariah Carey versus Nicki Minaj. Who's going to be the queen of American Idol? And then I also did a knockout interview with Floyd Mayweather, who didn't want to get off me. He was having so much fun.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Okay, so now we'll go on to Mary.
Okay, well, the hardworking Mary is still with Double Exposure.
Excellent. We love Double Exposure.
Thank you, thank you. We're an independent contractor, and we stay busy just about, headed by the fabulous Angelo Ellerby. And I also have my own company, as you know, So Much More Communications. And my big thing now is film, movie marketing, movie getting our audiences in. I'm excited about that because I love being everybody's best friend and inviting them to movie screening. We will definitely talk right after this. Got a movie for you. And then I'm excited about our potential new alliance and doing those line tastings for the singles and getting them in here to Papillon 25 and really starting something new that's really going to be a fun endeavor.
Yeah, and maybe make connections.
Definitely. They never know.
I know. And you know what? I got to get sincere here.
Okay.
Someone over here is sincere. Anybody named sincere, I want people to know who you are. Because you have been such a support for Mary, and you helped hook up Cynthia with her, love of her life. So I just want to, you know.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Cynthia Zaki. I'm a chef, caterer, photographer. My company is Mass Appeal Catering and Photography, or for short, Mass Appeal Entertainment. So anything that has to do with putting people together and having fun and making money, you know that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for getting Ms. Mary here and you know, being real cool.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. I am so happy, and I want to thank all my guests today, Mary Moore, Cynthia Horning, Yanni Quinn, last name.
Wignieri.
Madame Wignieri. Okay.
Publicly thank Yanni. Thank you, Yanni, for opening up your doors.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
It was my pleasure.
Oh,
thank you. Some wonderful women here.
Thank you. This has been so fun. And I have learned a lot. And I've been inspired today. I really have. You know, you women have given me personally, such a great message about hanging in there, don't give up, you know, be passionate about what you want in life, don't settle, and a lot of other good things I'm going to take heart, take home, and really cuddle up with and make friends with. So, like we said, look out for these ladies. They're moving, they're shaking, they're doing it. They're up all night, they don't sleep.
And we are blessed.
And they are blessed. And so am I today. So, and you know what? Yanni served us some cake. It was good, y'all. Okay?
This is on zucchini bread.
Bread. Enjoy life, enjoy your day, enjoy whatever you want to do, and I'll see you again. Oh, and I've got, don't forget to read my little blog. It's about going out to vote. It's the right thing to do because it's your right. So, anyway, love you, party people. See you soon. Bye.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible.